Do you love fun facts? Late night Wikipedia rabbit holes? I'm Jesse Carmen, and this is the What the Hell Are You Talking About podcast, where we talk all things curious. Every Friday, we'll explore strange happenings, the unexplained, current events, and more. I'll see you on the inside.
So, we're back. This is my holiday gift to you all. No, I'm kidding. We're back with another episode out of the blue after stopping with no intention of telling anyone when we would start again. But, you know, we're back at it. So today I wanted to talk about the origins of Christmas. You might have heard people say that all of the Christmas traditions are stolen from pagan festivals. And while that's kind of true, it's a little bit disingenuous because everybody was stealing traditions and festivals and celebrations from everyone around that time. But I wanted to dive in a little bit about like how Christmas started. So according to like Christian lore, Christmas, December 25th is Jesus's birthday. Historically speaking, historians think that Jesus, the guy, his birthday was actually probably in the summer, making him like a Cancer or a Taurus, or no, a Cancer. His birthday was actually in the summer, making him like a Cancer or a Leo, not a Capricorn. But that's what sort of centralizes around Christmas. Now, you may know that for a lot of folks in the United States in particular, Christmas is not that much of a religious holiday anymore. It's kind of just like a commercial holiday. But a theory for as to why, if historically speaking, Jesus' birthday was in the summer, why this festival was switched to December 25th, why this celebration changed, is because the Norse people celebrated Yule on December 21st. They were pagans, they believed in the Norse pantheon of deities, and they had a Yule celebration on the 21st. So historically speaking, when you're trying to convert people to your religion and like combat other religions, especially if, as a monotheistic person, you think that polytheists are like wholly in the wrong and that their gods are demons and stuff like that, you're gonna want your festival to fall around the same time, and you're gonna want it to be better and more fun and more exciting. So the Winter Solstice Festival like went all the way through January, Yule did. Like, this festival continued for a very long time, and it was kind of to celebrate the return of the sun, as after the solstice, you start to see more sunshine instead of less. They would burn logs, which is, if you've ever heard of a Yule log, that's what that's from. That's from this pagan Norse festival. And they would essentially just party until the log was done, which could take a long time. They were very big. They're not like, these are big-ass logs, okay? Big logs. And a lot of other parts of Europe were celebrating in the end of December. That's like the time of year when there would be fresh meat, lots of animals were slaughtered, so on and so forth. In Germany, people were worshiping Odin, the Norse god, but they were German people that had been like colonized by Scandinavians. And so they were like fucking scared of Odin. They did not think of him as benevolent, and they thought that he like flew through the sky to watch people and then decide who was going to have a good time and who was going to have a bad time. So a lot of people stayed inside. But that's something to be said too, is even when we look at like a Germanic celebration, they're already worshiping a god that's really not like endemic to Germany. They're worshiping a god that was brought to them by like Viking invasion, and they're scared of him. And that's what they're celebrating. They're honoring him so that they don't like perish. All right, going a little bit south towards the Mediterranean, when we turn towards Rome, their festival in winter was for Saturn. Saturn is also known as Kronos in Greek mythology. To the Romans, he was a god of agriculture. To the Greeks, he was not that. This is one of those places where the mythologies diverge a little bit. It's one of those reasons why you can say that The Romans essentially took Greek mythology, but it is not an exact copy. They made a lot of changes to these myths to sort of fit what they were looking for, fit their timeline, and fit what they needed. And this festival in Rome was called Saturnalia. And everybody just really partied, and they didn't respect their like socioeconomic order. Their class system went out the window. For this month, for this festival, people who were enslaved were temporarily free and treated as equals to like the high-ranking senators and stuff. Like everything closed and everybody literally just partied. It started the week before the winter solstice and it lasted a month. Everyone partied for a month because winter sucks and is cold, and so what are you going to do? You're going to party. So those are two different festivals that were happening during the solstice time around when Christmas falls, and would have been what Christianity was competing with. The Bible doesn't really mention the day that Jesus was born, but December 25th was decided to be his birthday and this holiday back in the 4th century. Until then, it was really kind of just Easter. But as Christianity spreads, you are competing with Saturnalia. You are competing with these Yuletide birthday celebrations. You are competing with these Yuletide festivals, feasts. And it was Pope Julius I who actually chose December 25th. So the thought is that this Pope chose it in order to like get the, because this was in Rome, obviously, right? The Vatican, in order to get people celebrating Saturnalia to sort of like adopt and absorb it. So then they could use some of those same traditions and go forth, but honoring Jesus, so the people didn't have to change everything about what they expected. It was easier that way to convert people. It was first called Feast of the Nativity, which is why if you are leaning into the Christian aspect of this holiday, you have like nativity scenes. And it took a while, like a few centuries, for this to spread, but it had spread to England within about 200 years. One thing that was kind of a double-edged sword in this whole like, we're going to make Jesus's birthday be near the other festivals so people are more likely to adopt it, is that the church didn't really have control over how Christmas was celebrated because it was absorbed into existing traditions. So like by the time you reach the Middle Ages, Christianity and other monotheistic religions like Islam and Judaism, by the time you reach like the Middle Ages, Christianity had pretty much almost entirely dissolved pagan religion in this region. There was still a lot of folk magic. There was still a lot of folk beliefs, but it was like, you are Christian because the state is Christian, because the king is Christian. But essentially it had sort of risen up, this monotheistic religion, as the main religion. There was still a lot going on with Islam around the Mediterranean, so don't lose sight of that. But Christianity had really, really spread throughout Europe. And essentially after church, it was like a carnival, like the parties of old, the festivals of old. And it was described by history.com as similar to the atmosphere of Mardi Gras. That's how hard these people were partying for the nativity. Like food, drink, get drunk, just hedonistic. I don't know how to pronounce that word. I've only read it. I've never said it out loud. But like Dionysus vibes, like going hard. And it was also a time of year where people in the upper class would really give to the lower class, to the poor people. They would entertain other people who were less fortunate than they were. They would share their food. They would share their drink, all these high quality things that they had. Like people could literally go into their homes and be like, give me your best stuff. And they were like allowed to stay and cause chaos and mischief if they did not receive stuff. So it was kind of like this is when you remember that like charity and helping the poor is a tenet of Christianity, because this is when the upper classes essentially like repaid their debt to everyone else in society. What you may not know about Christmas is that for a hot second, Christmas was actually canceled. So when we look to England in 1675, this guy Oliver Cromwell comes to power. I have no idea if he's related to like the Cromwell that was King Henry VIII's right-hand man, because religion in England changed a lot under King Henry VIII, in part because of Anne Boleyn, because Anne was a very radical, progressive, outspoken woman. Like, she was a feminist. She was also very religiously radical. She was considered by many people in England to be a heretic. And King Henry VIII, after Anne convinced him to declare himself head of the church instead of the Pope, alienating England from all of Catholic Europe, had a right-hand man whose name was also Cromwell. I think his name was Thomas. And I am not sure if... I think his name was Thomas, and I am not sure if Oliver Cromwell is a descendant of Thomas Cromwell or anything like that. But Oliver Cromwell is a Puritan. He comes to power in England in 1645 during the reign of Charles II, and what him and the Puritans do is they cancel Christmas. Christmas is heretical. It is no longer happening. And the reason for this is because they say, well, Christmas was invented in the 4th century by the church. Christmas is not the inherent celebration of Jesus. We came up with Christmas. And he's like, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. My light just went out. I think I did that. It's fine. But after Charles II is... like back on the throne, he brings Christmas back because it's fun. And if you remember the Puritans are the pilgrims who come to America. Except the ones that come to America are even more orthodox. They're even more strict. They're even more pure, so to speak. But Christmas did not exist in the early colonial America because you have these pilgrims that are even more radical than Cromwell and the Puritans, who are like, absolutely not, what the fuck is that? And then you have indigenous groups that are don't give a fuck about Jesus or know who Jesus is or want to be Christian at all. And then it was actually outlawed in Boston, celebration of Christmas, in the late 1600s, mid to late. It was like gone. And anyone who was like, had the Christmas spirit got a big fine. However, in Jamestown, Captain John Smith said was like, he was like, everybody likes Christmas. We all do Christmas. We have Christmas. So what we're seeing in colonial America from 1620 until like the late 1600s is really this sort of divisiveness where some of the Christians in America think Christmas is a heretical holiday and some of the Christians in America are really enjoying it. Either way, whatever kind of Christian, Christmas or not, these people were indeed doing genocide against indigenous Americans, but, you know. So after the American Revolution, though, and then we come to the American Revolution, and after the American Revolution, nobody really wants to celebrate Christmas all that much because it's an English tradition to these people. Because other parts of Europe weren't celebrating Christmas quite the same way or with quite the same vigor as England was after Christmas came back after being outlawed by the Puritans. So it's actually not declared a federal holiday in the United States until June 26th, 1870. That is after the Civil War. That's when Christmas is like an American holiday. Okay. So if we're going to talk about Christmas, and Christmas was still celebrated by people up until that point, it was just more of a personal holiday. It wasn't nearly as important. People were still, you know, having fun Yuletide times and using traditions passed down to them by their pagan ancestors, but it wasn't like this big official thing. If we're going to talk about Christmas in the United States, we have got to talk about Washington Irving. So Americans didn't really embrace Christmas until the 1800s. That's an important point here. In the 1700s, post-American Revolution, right after. So if we're going to talk about Christmas in America, if we're going to talk about Christmas in the United States, we have got to talk about Washington Irving. So we already know that Americans didn't re-embrace Christmas until the 1800s. It really wasn't practiced immediately after the Revolution the same way, nearly at all. But instead of it being like a crazy festival, carnival, like we'd seen for centuries past, Washington Irving was the one who was like, let's make it this family holiday. It's all about peace and tradition and blah, 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 instead of what Christmas had traditionally been, which was a very intense celebration. Part of the reason why Christmas came back in the 19th century was because there was a lot of conflict. in that century in America. Even outside of abolition and the Civil War, you have a ton of class conflict. You have high unemployment. You have gangs coming up and rioting. You have a lot of class conflict, and you have a lot of riots about class, about the economy, and about money. And those often occurred during the Christmas season. In 1828, the New York City Council even created the city's very first police force in response to a Christmas riot. And that's from history.com. Thank you, history.com. So what happens now is that upper class people in America see that those who are in poverty, the lower class, take this hedonistic festival and they riot about it because they want change, because they know the upper class are partying. They're not paying attention. Now is the perfect time to cause a ruckus and get the change that they need, that they're looking for. And the upper class are like, no. That just won't do. So in 1918, Washington Irving wrote The Sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon, which was in 1918, Washington Irving wrote the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon. It's spelled crayon, but I feel like it's pronounced crayon. And this was essentially like a bunch of stories about Christmas and how it was celebrated. There were sketches. There was like a squire who would invite the peasants in, and it was blah, let's celebrate. So this posed a very stark contrast to the problems that Americans were facing currently in society, because it went back to kind of those old traditions of the poor coming to the rich and being like, give me your fun stuff, but with a little less aggression. It showed the wealthy and the poor mingling and getting along, and everything was peaceful. And Irving personally believed that Christmas should be a peaceful time. He wanted to bring groups together across these striations of social status and across wealth and across, you know, essentially what was a caste structure of class in the United States, an unofficial caste structure. So he said they celebrated ancient customs. Those ancient customs were indeed the pagan celebrations. They were pagan traditions. Yuletide pagan traditions for the Norse, Saturnalia, they were Saturnalia traditions from Rome. So he said that they were enjoying these ancient customs that were the pagan traditions that actually had started Christmas, but he framed it in such a way that it was about like peace and love and light and coming together. And historians today say that Irving's account essentially like invented tradition of Christmas. Historians often say that Irving's book essentially invented Christmas as we know it today and invented tradition, because he implied that the Christmas he described was the historical, real, true Christmas that everyone had been celebrating for centuries. And it wasn't. Christmas was a lot more hedonistic, but he took real pagan traditions, brought them in, and made it convincing. So, Christmas. We could go into a lot more depth here. There's a lot more to talk about, but I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to. Anyway, but yeah, that's how Christmas came to be in the United States and in much of the Western world where our traditions are similar. Anyway, I hope that you all are having a happy holiday. I hope things are good and fun and you're having a good time. I know things in a lot of part of the world are really shit right now, but I hope that your life is not shit. Okay, I'll see you later on the inside. Disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. The stories and statements expressed herein are experiences and opinions. They may not represent the views of the production studio or the hosts. If you disagree with our content, that's okay. No podcast is perfect for everyone.